Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We are down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. We're in the club level here, the EMC Club.
That's
We've
right,
got
nice.
A lot of our advertisers and our clients who are here. Pat Patriot is here. Some
oh, that's
members
good.
Of the Patriots cheerleaders are
good.
Here. There's photos being taken. There's sweaters. I was going to say being worn, but only one is being worn. Everybody else
yeah,
is
I'm
carrying
theirs
around.
By that. Yeah. It's really kind of unsettling. I thought everybody was going to dip into
Throw
the
it
sweaters.
On,
that's
just,
what I thought.
Know, kind of chuck
yeah.
it on, just see,
guess
give, it a, give it a gander.
Who's going to wear it better than this, though, I guess? Maybe that's the concern. Maybe people are saying, you know what,
maybe,
hesitating a little bit.
There's people pointing to folks out in the crowd saying that they might wear
they're
going to
wear them. See, they're going to wear
yeah,
them. They're going to put them on.
Throw
they're
those babies
about
on.
Yeah.
Trey Flowers will join us in just a little bit. Rob Ninkovich will be here on the club level with us beginning at noon, as we've got a lot to talk about with what happened yesterday. None of it good. I mean,
nothing,
none of it.
Nothing there. Nothing to get excited about. Deion Lewis, I liked what he said after the game. He was all fired up.
He was fired
James
up.
White even kind of laughed it off. Like, James White's not mad at him for that. He's like, hey, he was, what did he say? He was fired up, or what did he say? He was running hot.
He didn't use running hot, well, but I wish he had. You wish he had.
I kind of do
wish
he had. He kind of was, but he gets it.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Shirley is in Connecticut. Hey, Shirley, how are you?
Good. How are you guys today?
Good.
Doing great.
Is anybody out there in the crowd with a Titans sweatshirt on?
Not one yet.
No, no Titans.
No, haven't seen any.
No, not here.
Listen, I was listening to the show yesterday, and I think Rich, I think you're the one that said this, that the Titans couldn't score enough points.
I did say that. I definitely said that. Yeah.
I told my girlfriend, she lived here in Connecticut for many years. She just moved out to Texas. She can't hear the show anymore. I told her what you said. And when I heard the score this morning, 34-10, I said, oh, my God, he was right. Never even realizing that the Titans won 34-10. I didn't watch the game because I hate the Patriots. But,
See, you'd have really loved yesterday, then.
What's the point of that? What's the point?
Yes, except if I watched it, they probably would have won, and that would have made me sick. So, yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan, so.
So surround the point.
Yeah,
here.
Where are we getting at here,
What was the
Shirley?
Reason you called?
What's that?
What was
Why
the reason
you, call
you called?
The show? You called us?
Yeah, I called you just to say, you know, cheers that to you, Rich, for having the right call on that game, buddy. I'm glad you were wrong.
Thank you, Shirley.
I bet Shirley's never made a
go,
sports
go Cowboys.
Prediction
yeah,
mistake
so,
before, right?
Which is fine. That's fine, but there's no other
we,
reason
we
to call
do it
in.
All the time.
I have not gotten them all right. I will fully admit that.
If you did, you wouldn't be working with me, for God's
sake. That's true. They should not have allowed 34 points. And I still stand by it going into the game. I don't know
no,
how
they had
were
a
able
terrible
do
scoring
they
offense.
They had never scored 30 in a game all season long in, what, 8 games leading up to it. So that was a
the miscalculation on our part was how bad the Patriots defense was going to play yesterday.
Both. I mean, both sides. That's why I can't decide what's more surprising, the 34 they allowed or the 10 that they scored. Probably the 34 that they allowed, just based off of what Tennessee, what they have.
That's probably fair.
But great call, Shirley.
Thank you, Shirley. We always appreciate you. Bob's up in Maine. Hey, Bob.
What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Go ahead.
Yep, hi, sorry about that. Hey, I just want to talk about the defense real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So I'm just
tough start.
I know it's an offensive league, I get it, and we love Tom Brady, but our defense can't get anybody else off the field. We allow these extended long drives for our opponents. We've been doing it for too long, and Brady and the offense simply don't have enough time to do what they need to do in any of these games, and it's frustrating to watch. You know, to watch them never be able to get off the field and move on. And so,
well, I mean, they just held Aaron Rodgers to under 20 points.
Yeah,
they held
pretty
they
good
held job
Green Bay
the
to
Packers.
17 points. I mean, that was pretty
that
good.
That was a pretty good game.
Yep, I agree. That was a good one. But
okay.
It just feels like these – yesterday has become more the norm than anything else. We just – you know, 7, 8, 9-minute drives every quarter by the other teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought they'd start to put together a pretty good stretch. Now, I don't think it's a strength of the team, but I thought, you know, half of the game against the Colts, you know, the second half, really the fourth quarter, it kind of got away from them a little bit. The Bills, it's just the Bills. You can kind of write that one off, I guess. But still, the defense was fine there. And then the Packers game might have been the best that they had played start to finish against the team and against a really good quarterback. Like, Marcus Mariota is no Aaron Rodgers. And I mean, Corey Davis is good, but that team is not – their offense is not very good, and they have injuries on their offensive line. Their offensive line stinks, but you couldn't tell.
No, they
– You couldn't tell at
did
all.
Did a decent job. By the way, to follow up on the caller's point about the Patriots defense.
Yeah.
You know, just to put it in perspective, Stephon Gilmore yesterday in coverage.
What happened to him?
Mariota was 6 of 8, 98 yards, a touchdown, and a pass interference penalty.
Two. Or no, one wasn't accepted,
right.
I think. But he committed two pass interference penalties.
6 of 8, 98 yards, touchdown, pass interference penalty.
And he's been your best player. Either he or the guy we're going to be joined by at noon, Trey Flowers, has been their best defensive player all year, right? Gilmore's had a pretty good season. And then yesterday, it felt like a flashback to his first couple of games last year. I don't know what happened to him.
I mean, he wasn't the only guy, don't get me wrong.
No, he wasn't, but normally he's a strength. So even in games where they're giving up a bunch of points, he's making plays or they're purposely throwing away from him. But yesterday, they could go right at him, and it didn't matter.
Brian is in Westwood. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, doing great.
I was calling because it seems like everyone is against kind of Tom Brady. I was wondering if anyone's going to hold Bill Belichick accountable. I mean, we lost Deion Lewis. We lost Brandon Cooks, who's tearing it up in L.A. We lost Danny Amendola. We lost our Pro Bowl left tackle. And to bring up the stats on Brady, you lose all those key pieces around. I question some of these callers and yourselves who hold Tom Brady accountable when you lost several missing pieces and didn't replace them on offense.
Tell me what holding Bill Belichick accountable means. What does that entail?
He's talking about the GM.
So holding Bill Belichick, I mean, he's the GM of the team. So
yeah.
And
I understand that, but what I mean is, you know, why aren't you holding him accountable? Meaning what?
I mean, well, I just heard 20 calls from you guys saying that Brady's over the hill, even to the point that his brain synapses is slowing down.
That one was confusing.
I had a hard time keeping up with that call. No, but don't you think that the quarterback is just such an important position in the NFL that when they do well, they get almost all the credit, and when the team does poorly, they're going to get most of the blame? And I think that you're right. I think there was an adjustment period. I didn't expect him to have 40 touchdowns, 5 picks this year. I thought there was going to be an adjustment period. Didn't have Edelman for 4 games, just added Josh Gordon. But if you look at all those guys, like, did you really want to overpay Amendola? No. Cooks? No. Solder? No. Deion Lewis? No. I mean, maybe you'd answer yes for some of those guys. I would say no. And they replaced Cooks with essentially Josh Gordon. They replaced Deion Lewis with essentially Sony Michel, a first-round pick. Trent Brown's been just as good as Nate Solder. And the offense, until yesterday, hadn't really been much of a problem. I would look maybe more defensively if you wanted to say they should have added some more guys there. But offensively, they were terrible yesterday. But for the most part, they've been scoring a bunch of points.
Yeah, but what I'm calling is in regards to some of the stats you brought up is that Brady's falling off. You said that he wasn't in the top 5 statistically in any of the NFL categories.
You don't think he's falling off?
No, not at all. I don't know.
Oh, wow. We're seeing a different game then. And that, I mean, that, so again, I just yeah, you don't think it's some of the throws that he has made?
To a pocket passer when you lose several of your top players, to say Brandon Cooks isn't a missing piece, if you watched any of the L.A. Rams football games, the guy's going crazy.
Did you watch any of the Patriots games last year? Forget what he's doing this year. That doesn't really matter. Last year he was good. He was good. He wasn't amazing. He was good last year. And, oh, by the way, they added Julian Edelman back this year. Edelman didn't play at all last year, and that's his favorite target.
Yeah, and then you're also comparing. Now, Josh Brown is starting to heat up a little bit, fair enough to your point, but to say you can just – that Danny Amendola isn't a loss is crazy on the back end. You don't win any of the Super Bowls. You don't win any of the –
He's a big-time playoff loss, but go look at his regular season numbers. I don't think it's a significant regular season loss.
So you're taking about – and then Deion Lewis was a huge factor in yesterday's game as well. So you take away – I mean, we're not –
Well, he wasn't.
He wasn't. Deion Lewis was not a huge factor.
No.
Yeah, I named about 4 or 5.
He had 2.9 yards of carry. So which guy would you? So which guy would you have paid to bring back? Which guy would you have paid a lot of money to bring back?
I would have signed them all. I don't know why.
So you can't. It's okay. You can't. You can't do it.
So you actually could. The Patriots.
No, you can't.
Had time and time again cheaped out on players, and
you couldn't have signed all those guys. Nate Solder became the highest paid left tackle. You couldn't have signed all those guys. To what they got. I mean, yeah, if they all took pay cuts, sure, you could sign every. You could sign the whole everybody you want. What?
The Patriots have got away with it with having a minimalist team because they've had the greatest quarterback of all time. So
I was going to say it's kind of worked for them, hasn't it?
But they do spend a lot of money, though. Like, you can't say that they're a team that's at the bottom of the cap. Brady bails them out a lot, especially recently.
I mean, eventually it's going to catch up to you. I mean,
no, you know what's going to catch up to you worse is drafts. The draft's going to catch up to you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So, that's where you and I disagree. You wanted to bring back every single guy that they lost. That I just don't think was very realistic. And a lot of those guys I wouldn't have wanted to give a ton of money to.
And let's point out that Bill Belichick is nothing if not consistent. This is the way he's run this franchise since he took over. This is how he's always done business. They spend to the cap, or pretty close to the cap. They just believe in spreading it out more than teams who want to make Nate Solder the highest paid, left tackle in the history of football.
They will spend money. They do it at certain spots. I mean, Stephon Gilmore is getting a ton of money, so they'll do it at certain spots. It's just not everywhere. But to the caller's point, who doesn't think Brady has dropped off at all, his overall point is that Brady's bailed them out all the time, so then why can't he bail them out now? Right? Wouldn't that mean because he's not as good as he was a year ago, or maybe even 5 years ago, or pick a year? If he thinks this has always been a problem for them, then okay, fine. But then something has changed.
I mean, I love Brady as much as everybody else around here does.
Sure.
I don't know how you can watch him play this year and say there hasn't been some drop off.
Right. I don't get it. I don't see it.
He's got one touchdown pass in his last three games.
That never happens.
That's not Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's almost nobody. That's nobody in today's NFL.
Darren's in Belmont. Hey, Darren, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm listening to what you're saying about the Patriots, and the problem I have with Bill right now, and I'm an avid fan, is that his personnel moves this year were not conducive to what happened out of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, the defense was horrendous. He goes out and spends the two first-round picks on a tackle and a running back that the tackle hasn't done anything. The running back is the time coming. He should have spent it on defense, and that's what I have a problem with. Then he goes out.
I don't know how he could predict the tackle was going to get hurt.
No, but I'm with him on defense. I want a defense, too. I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, they had to get defense. They traded for Brown. They didn't need to go out and draft a tackle. They got to get a tackle in the lower rounds. But the other fact is they go sign Claiborne, who's a good player, not a great player. Most of his sacks came in one game against Dallas. He had six sacks against that. He had seven for the total year. And then go get him for his edge rusher, which he needed badly. His personnel decisions on defense is just killing this team. They keep losing these games, not because of the offense. There's nothing wrong with Brady. We'll get through this all. But defensively, I'm tired of watching them. They're out there forever, and they can't make a stop. And Bill just does not get it. And it's supposed to be a...
Yeah, no, I hear you. I love the passion. But, I mean, when you say stuff like they keep losing these games, they had won six in a row.
Or when you say Bill does not get it, it's been an awful thing.
I think, but I want a defense. I want a defense with the first two picks. And then you're like, okay, I guess they need an offensive lineman, the running back. They're not bringing back Deion Lewis. So you say, okay. But you're right. The defense, I think so much was relying on Dante Hightower returning, who wasn't a part of the defense last year. So you bring him back. Then they did add Jason McCourty. They added Adrian Claiborne, which I think they probably overspent for him. And then that's, right, it's pretty much a lot of the same guys back from last year where they were pretty good in the regular season in weeks 5 through 17. But then in the Super Bowl, they came crashing back down to earth.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Edelman has lost his burst, so he can't separate as quickly as he used to, and he definitely cannot run after catch the way he used to because he was such a threat.
Go get those guys from Southie.
Okay.
You know those guys that you call out to stand from Southie? Get them.
So, Chris Hogan, if I mention him, the last three games, he just completely disappeared. I don't know if he's in Brady's doghouse or Belichick's doghouse, but Chris Hogan's caught two balls in five games. I don't know what's happening. Maybe he's lost his burst. That leaves me with Josh Gordon. So Tom Brady, the GOAT, tried 12 times to throw it to Josh Gordon yesterday. And what happened, Mr. Sharp? He caught 4 of 12. He dropped 2 on the opening drive and 1 on a third down that just hit him right in the midst.
Right.
Went right through his hands. Your receivers better catch whatever you throw to them. So he's getting no help from Josh Gordon. He's getting not nearly enough help from Julian Edelman. He's getting no help at all from Chris Hogan. And Gronk's on the sideline. Help me out. He's throwing to whom? They didn't even have the three guys from Southeast, from Dorchester.
So why do they need those guys?
Well, they need somebody.
No, they don't.
They would have been better off with the three guys from Dorchester than these guys.
Please, God, forgive me. I actually agree with much of what Skip is saying.
About the three guys from Dorchester?
Well, no, not that part. No,
they
not
lost
that part.
Me there.
No,
we're
talking about the other thing.
Southie?
Chris Hogan's got 2 catches in 5
Hogan
games.
Hogan might be in the Brady doghouse. I don't think it has anything to do with Belichick. I don't think Belichick says, hey, don't throw to him when he's out there. And I think his playing time was going to get reduced a little bit with Gordon. It hasn't gotten reduced as much as Philip Dorsett, he's been the guy that's really played a lot less.
I asked
snaps.
You this a couple of weeks ago, and you answered surprisingly in a positive way because it's Josh Gordon.
Yes.
Are you getting as much out of Josh Gordon as you expected right now today?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, see, I'm not. I'm not getting as much as I
expected. So you just thought he was going to be the 2013 Josh Gordon?
I just thought, especially by this point. You
he's
know,
had
where
200-yard games. He's had a couple of touchdowns.
He's had some drops.
And he's yeah, but every good receiver has drops. Like all, you look at the leaders and drops at the end of the year, it's always like the best guys. Like T.O. would always have a million drops, but you'd still want him on
Randy
the team.
Randy Moss didn't have hardly any, but.
I don't know. I bet if you go back and look at it, I bet those guys did. But I think I didn't have unrealistic expectations for Gordon. I thought he was going to be good. I thought still White and Edelman and Gronk would probably be thrown to more. Now, with Gronk being hurt, maybe that throws things up in the air a little bit. But Gordon is still significantly better than Chris Hogan or Dorsett. And wasn't that really the whole idea? That was my hope, that he was going to be able to do that. And I think he's been pretty good. Now, you'd like them to be a little bit more on the same page, but how many receivers have come in mid-season and joined up with the Patriots and had success? He's probably been the best at it. Guys are in there in training camp and can't figure it out. He shows up week three, and he's already playing 100% of snaps or 80 to 90% of snaps. That to me, is pretty good.
I was concerned about him being available, and to this point, he has been.
Right.
I mean, the bye week scares me a little bit, but, you know,
we'll see.
That was my concern. I thought if he was on the field, he was going to be great because his physical talent
is off, the charts. Yeah.
He's been good. I thought he'd be very good, if not great. And I think he's been good.
Jeez. Well, then you really should have loved him being here then.
Yeah, but like my concern was always I didn't think he was going to be able to stay on the field.
So what did you?
I didn't have a problem.
What did you think he was going to do? Like score a touchdown every week?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of
really?
Did.
Really? You thought he was going to be a 16-touchdown guy? That's insane. How many of those guys have there been?
Well.
Any besides Gronk with the Patriots?
So
ever?
I thought he'd be a 12.
Or Moss?
You thought he was going to be Randy Moss? 15-touchdown kind of guy.
Oh, that is wild
Randy Moss
to me.
At 23. I mean,
no, I know. That was also the NFL record.
I'm not going nuts here in that regard. But
I mean, I thought
he'd finish with a dozen touchdowns.
Oh, my God. Wow. I don't remember where that's coming from. I thought he would be a better version of or no, maybe similar to Brandon Cooks. It was going to look a little bit different, but be like Brandon Cooks. Be about 1,000 yards and be 65 catches somewhere in there and between 5, 6, 7 touchdowns. I mean, did you think he was going to come in here? You obviously thought he was going to come in here and be the number one target.
Well,
that's really surprising. I thought Edelman and Gronk and White would still be more of the offense than Gordon.
Interestingly, Gronk has a longer yard per attempt than even Josh Gordon does. Which surprises me a little bit. Gronk's,
or yards per catch, you mean?
No, yards per attempt to Gronk. It's like 10.25. And Gordon is like 9 point something.
Yeah, because some of those slants are so close to the line.
Right.
That kind of offsets it, I'm guessing. But no, I think he hasn't been the problem. You'd like them to be more on the same page. They've left a few plays out there, but that's just as much on Brady as I think it is on Gordon.
Oh, and we've given Brady.
It's been both. I mean, there's been
a pretty fair chunk of blame here.
Like there was a play yesterday that was a flat out drop. So that was a great throw. Drop.
Third down should have been a first down conversion.
So that was 100% on Gordon. But then there's a couple others where it's double covered. And you say, all right, that. And I guess you're trying to give him a chance, but I don't even know how much of a chance he gave him. And then it's incomplete, and it goes down as a target for Gordon. And yeah, those numbers aren't great. I mean, he goes 4 catches on 12 targets, 81 yards. You know, he had the big 44-yarder. That was on third down, too.
Right.
That was a huge play. No, I think he's been good. You'd like that percentage to go up a little bit every time he throws to him. He also seems to be locked in on him at some times. Right? Like, there was a couple of plays yesterday where he dropped back. It was like the only guy he looked at, and he was covered. And you're like,
he's the only guy he looked at.
Right, and he still threw to him anyway. And you're like, all right, I don't know if you're going to expect a high percentage of those.
617-779-7937. Greg is in Peabody. Hey, Greg.
Hi, guys. You know, listen, I just want to give my 2 cents. I kind of echo what the other caller said. I think they had a great chemistry last year. Do you know Belichick's payroll with the freaking special teams and the day and age where special teams isn't relevant is $15.5 million he spends on special teams, which is ridiculous.
How would you come up with that number?
That's the number. That's the DraftKings.com special teams number for Belichick.
Here's my point.
Gostkowski's the highest paid kicker, I think, right?
And he has always been willing to use players on special teams that maybe some teams don't. Teddy Bruschi, when he was here, was a special teams guy.
No,
but if he's talking about like Nate Ebner and Matthew Slater.
tips that he fills the roster with. I'd rather fill that money with Amendola. You said Amendola, well, he hasn't kept the ball during the regular season. He's clutching the third down turnover.
Well, I didn't say he doesn't catch it at all in the regular season. I just said you miss him more in the playoffs.
That's 100% right. No, listen. Hey, listen, Belichick has Brady left the field three times with leads in the Super Bowl. Belichick handed him over all three times. He blew a 28-3 lead at Indianapolis against the Bears in the Super Bowl. So I'd certainly, this is all Brady and 10% Belichick in my eyes. This guy's defense, if Brady hasn't carried this team for the last 15 years, shoot me, for Christ's sake. That's ridiculous.
Well, 15 years is obviously a little too high, because I think if you go back
to I'm not going to shoot you.
Oh, we're not going to do that. It's as dumb as the call was, yeah. We're not going to do that. The first three Super Bowls, I don't know how you would say. I mean, Brady had some great drives. Don't get me wrong. The Super Bowl is incredible.
He was not carrying them to Super Bowl wins.
I think the defense and the way
especially
the defense had a lot to do with it. Ty Law and Bruschi and Seymour. I think those guys had a lot to do with it. I think the most recent run, like the second part of Brady's career, if you want to say maybe he deserves a little bit more of the credit or he has sort of carried lesser
rosters. The
last two
Super Bowl champions,
then sure,
absolutely.
I agree with that. Fine.
But we this is the point where we lose our damn minds around here. Now it's, you know, Bill Belichick sucks and – you know, they're winning despite Bill Belichick. Really?
But that happens in September every year, and then people get over it. Now we're in November. That's what's surprising. How many stinkers, and I guess we could go back and look at it. And I'm talking about games where they really tried. So some of these Week 17 games
where they're not even
playing. You're like, well, that's a little screwy, and, like, you know, maybe they should have tried against Miami. Like, that was a dumb one, and I was upset with that. But you couldn't say that the team just got absolutely outplayed. That's what they did yesterday.
Dixon Milford. Hey, Dick.
Dick.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
You're up.
This is Dick in Milford. I was at the game, and Brady is my favorite quarterback.
Nice.
But we were sitting in peanut heaven, so we could see the whole formation.
Nice.
And all of us said the same thing. When he was throwing deep to his left, almost all of the downs, guys were open short, and he elected to force it deep. Why, I have no idea. So you can never blame one guy, but I can tell you this, he better take the brunt of it.
I just think that's also the nature of the position now. And we, you know, we're willing to give him a ton of credit, and he deserves it when they're scoring 40 points and they're you know, these fourth quarter comebacks and everything else. That's him. You know, even though he's out there with 10 other guys, he's going to get all the credit. But when they struggle and they can't move the ball, then, yeah, I think a lot of it has to go on him as well.
Sitting in peanut heaven.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
Again, I warned you about this when we started the show. This is going to be lose your damn mind.
Are you saying there's no problem?
No, lots of them.
Oh, because you're saying it like people shouldn't be losing their minds.
No, I'm saying that you know, to suggest that, you know, Tom Brady sucks and Bill Belichick sucks.
Nobody sucks all of a sudden, but are they the best team in the AFC?
No.
Exactly. Okay, then that's what there's reason for concern, because normally they are. Normally, even after a loss, you're like, yeah, but after this one and then the way Kansas City keeps on rolling, like, it turns out not just a hot start for Kansas City. Kansas City is the real deal. And looking at it, there was updated Super Bowl odds on one of these websites that you can go to, and the Rams and the Saints are now the co-favorites to win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are third, followed by the Patriots and Steelers together. So they are now tied for fourth.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many other teams you can really put ahead of them. Because even Pittsburgh.
Chiefs and Rams would definitely be ahead of them.
Well, they are.
On my list.
No,
New Orleans would be ahead of them.
Yeah, those three.
And I might even go deeper than that. You know, when we started to look around.
I wouldn't. Like Houston, the Chargers. I'm not going there with any of those teams. Not yet, anyway.
I like the Chargers, actually. Maybe.
They're good. Titans look good yesterday. You see them?
Not so much, yeah. I know Dion is convinced.
Dion thought they won yesterday. Yeah, he's excited.
Ken's in Providence, as soon as I hit the right button here. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Great.
Rich, who do you like tonight so I can go the opposite way?
Giants.
Because, respectfully, sir, you were terrible yesterday. I listened to you the last 10 minutes between 12:50 and 1 o'clock.
No, oh, I picked the Browns. What are you talking about? Browns won outright. They were a home dog. They won outright. That's a good pick.
Yep, and you also picked Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, and New England.
I didn't pick Tampa Bay.
Pretty sure you did.
Didn't pick Tampa Bay.
Who did you like in the Patriots game?
I like the under.
You like the Titans.
I didn't really like either team, but, you know, nonetheless.
So you lost the under too, right?
No, I got that.
And so when I ask you which team you thought was going to win the game, you
would have said no pick. No, he had no pick.
Yeah, I know, because he doesn't want to tell me the truth. No, Ken, who did you think was going to win the game yesterday?
New England.
Oh, my God.
So
you should be shamed.
Pretty much the same as what Rich said.
Right.
No, I didn't think they were going to well, I'm thinking from a different perspective, and I don't want to get into that, but you can probably understand where I'm going with that.
No,
I didn't think they were going to cover. You know, I thought they would win the game, you know, not by seven. And I thought Tennessee was going to play just the same way they played. You know, Vrabel had a inside tip on a lot of their playbooks.
Yeah, okay. You're kind of falling apart here. We'll be honest. Kind of lost me there.
You get the sense people just want to rag on you today.
Which is fine. The good news is
they haven't even seen your sweater in person like I have, and they still want to rag on you.
No, the good news is they were listening to NFL Sunday. They really enjoyed NFL Sunday,
and we appreciate that. Award-winning NFL Sunday.
Sorry, I didn't give you the Patriots as a winner. I thought they were going to win by two touchdowns. I was wrong.
I probably would have. I didn't pick yesterday, but I probably would have thought similarly.
Yeah, I thought so too, but it was not meant to be. So if you want to call in and laugh and say, "Oh my God, I can't believe you thought the Titans were going to lose," go for it. It's fine. We're here till 2.
Be here all day.
That's fine.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Trey Flowers will be with us in just a few minutes here at the EMC Club here at Gillette Stadium. Rob Ninkovich will join us for the entire noon hour. We'll have to rename it or something, huh? We have noon.
The noon hour?
Yeah, I mean, if the Nink hour. I don't know. We'll
high noon with Nink.
Yeah, we'll workshop it.
We'll get it. We'll get there. Season's almost over, but we'll get there. We'll land it.
The way things are going yesterday, maybe over sooner than we expected.
He can name it. Yeah.
So he'll join us in just a little bit as well. We get right back to your calls though. In the meantime, and talk to Bill in Austin. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. So maybe because I'm so far away, maybe I have a different perspective. But it seems like people are being a little bit apocalyptic here.
Gee, do you think?
Yeah.
All right, so spin a positive then for us. What do you got?
So, you know, they're getting a bye week this week. That's 10 straight games. Maybe, you know, they were kind of flat. And maybe they're tired, and maybe they were looking ahead to the bye week.
Oh, no.
You know,
this is the positive part? You're saying that they were looking ahead to the bye week?
Maybe they're tired looking ahead.
They're tired?
Having a week off, yeah.
Oh, boy, that's not a good sign.
I got to be honest, Bill, I was applauding your attempt to make me feel better, but you didn't actually do it.
Maybe they're tired. Yeah.
Well, sorry. But so they, you know, they're probably going to end up 12-4. They probably will. They still may get a bye. They're not going to have, you know, they're not going to have the home field advantage all the way through the playoffs. And you know, it's probably not a Super Bowl winning year. But from the Texas Longhorn fan perspective, they're pretty good. They're pretty
okay. Well, we're not grading them on a curve. We're not comparing them to the Longhorns, are we? Is that what we're doing up here?
I think realistically.
So he just said if they're not a Super Bowl team, then that's why people are reacting the way that they are.
I would say that realistically, if I was sitting here today at the risk of making a prediction that might, you know, prove false and people will call and mock me for, I think
it's never happened before.
I think realistically 4-2 is about
the rest of the
about
way.
Right. I see them having a real problem with Minnesota, having a real problem with Pittsburgh, those defenses. I don't see them having any problem in either game with the Jets.
No, the Jets are
so bad. I don't see them having any problem with Buffalo, even if Matt Barkley's at quarterback.
Miami.
And I probably don't see them having much problem with Miami.
Yeah, I just feel like – so even if they're 11-5 or 12-4, you got to see what Kansas City's doing, and then even Pittsburgh. Now, the head-to-head with Pittsburgh may decide whether or not you're the 2-seed or the 3-seed. Like, that could become the biggest game left in the regular season because – do you have a bye, or are you playing wild card weekend, and then you have to go on the road to Pittsburgh? Like, that is significant, because when they're home in the playoffs, obviously, you know, we've seen them lose here. It's not like they're undefeated, but when they go to the Super Bowl, they usually have the bye, and they usually have the home field throughout.
Bill's in Framingham. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. Hey, yesterday was the first day ever that I was watching Tom Brady, and I thought, finally, he's starting to look old. I love Tom Brady. I don't blame him for yesterday. But after, you know, you're watching Red Zone and you see Mayfield and Mahomes and Trubisky running around throwing dots, you go back and you're watching the Patriots and Brady was kind of like throwing wounded ducks. And it was the first time I got that Peyton Manning feeling like, hey, it's almost time for you to hang it up.
Cliff,
I'm not blaming him.
No, I got you. And then to make matters worse, they're like, let's throw him the ball and have him run with it.
Yeah, that's good plan.
Like, let's just really drive that point home for everybody. Oh, my God, that was awful.
Let's stick Tom Brady, the world's greatest quarterback, out as a wide receiver.
Down 14, like, how desperate did that look? And you're like, this is not
pretty desperate.
What are you doing? And I know they've done trick plays before, and they've worked, and they've done them when they're losing, and it can be a huge play in the game. But usually, it's something a lot better than that.
Here comes the Cliff.
I mean, it was. It definitely
he's going to be so happy that he's going to be able.
Yeah, but I don't give him credit. We said this before. You don't get credit. You can't keep saying that. You can't be like, hey, this player's career is going to end. Yeah, they all do. Like, so you keep saying it multiple times.
I expect him to be off the cliff this season.
No, that was a year ago.
Or more.
Or maybe more, right. So that doesn't count. Sorry, you've lost the ability to get credit for it.
Rob Ninkovich will join us here at the EMC Club. We'll talk to Trey Flowers of the New England Patriots here as well. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.